We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Yeah, push button. We have liftoff in Houston. I was just talking to Horowitz. Yankees with that lineup, unless the Astros win the next two games, that ALCS is over. They have to win the next two. Horowitz, you're a Yankees fan. Would you agree with me on my opening take?
I don't know if they have to win the next two, but they definitely have to, I would say, get two out of the next three.
Yeah, okay, I agree with that. I'll go there. Their lineup, you know, because again, I haven't watched a ton of baseball until we began the postseason, and their lineup is just, you know, and Zach Greinke, he wasn't sharp. He was hanging on. You could see his breaking pitches were just meatballs, and finally the Yankees caught up to it. But that lineup is intimidating. It really is, Horowitz. And you're a Yankees fan, right?
I am.
Yeah, that's a great lineup.
The lineup's ridiculous.
It is. It's like an all-star lineup. I'm talking to my buddy and my brother. We're watching the game and going back and forth between all the college football, which I'll get to. It's an unbelievable night. You're watching Florida LSU. You're watching Iowa Penn State and the USC. You're going back and forth between the Stros and the Yankees. And it's like you forgot about Aaron Judge as part of this team. Like, wasn't he hurt? Oh, he didn't play the full season, but still had 27 dingers. I just think that the Yankees, the pitching for the Astros is why they were one of the best teams in Major League Baseball in the regular season. And, you know, my brother, who was a second-round pick, just said that Yankees lineup will wear on you no matter how good of a pitcher you are. I mean, it's an all-star lineup. So I'll go, you know, let me see the next two games. I really think that will set up the series. I truly do. And then you got Washington, who feels blessed to be in the NLCS and what they did to the Dodgers. Are you thinking Yankees, Washington? You're a Yankees fan, Horowitz. Are you counting your chickens before they hatch after one game?
Certainly not. I mean, I wanted them to go out and grab this. I thought it was a pivotal game because game two in Houston against Justin Verlander, that's a tough spot. You don't want to go down 0-2 to that team. But I'm not counting any chickens. I mean, this is a tough team, and gosh, who knows what happens in that NLCS. I mean, Washington's been hot for the last week, but certainly not going to count the Cardinals out yet.
Yeah, and you look at when you get Cole and you get Verlander, I call those must-win situations in my mind. It's almost like you look at it if you were planning it, and the way he kind of let Greinke go when he wasn't looking good, it's almost like A.J. Hinch was thinking, okay, we may not get this one, but I feel comfortable about games two and three. So, hey, I wish somehow if baseball could capture the magic of the postseason and bring, I know you can't do it over 162 regular season games, but bring some of that to the regular season. I don't know how you could do it on a smaller scale, but it's amazing. It's riveting. You know, it's about the only time that I'll put baseball in, and I'm a Tigers fan, grew up a Tigers fan, they're not in it, so I don't have a rooting interest. I just like seeing the best in baseball. And I love a great story like Washington. And then I was talking about all the former Tigers, being a Tigers fan and doing my statewide show here in Michigan. You know, Anibal Sanchez and the resurrection of his career. Tigers never gave Max Scherzer money early in his career and let him walk and become a mega free agent when he just wanted Verlander money in Detroit. Verlander, who used to be in Detroit. Think about that. Guys like J.D. Martinez. I mean, the rotation, and a lot of people in Michigan have been talking over the last week of that, at what point they had Porcello and Price and Scherzer and Verlander and Anibal Sanchez, and they could not win They could not win a World Series. Oh, and then you'll love this, Horowitz, because everybody's looking for something on everybody on Twitter, right?
For sure.
Okay. Two and a half years ago, Anibal Sanchez was just dog meat in Detroit, right? They kind of bailed on him. And Shane Green wasn't pitching well, which he didn't pitch well with the Braves, did pitch well with the Tigers before the trade. And I said, the quicker they can get rid of those guys, the better. This is April 17th, 2017, right? It's when the Tigers are beginning just the fire sale. They call it rebuilding, reloading. I call it just total destruction of the franchise when you think about guys the Tigers had, okay? Verlander, Scherzer, Price, Porcello, Anibal Sanchez. And then Dombrowski, who got canned in Boston, he never would invest in a bullpen. You basically had a Hall of Fame / All-Star rotation, and he never would invest in a bullpen. So, you know, spring of 2017, I said, get rid of the guys. Well, today, you know, looking at Anibal Sanchez, looking at what the Nats have done with flirting with no hitters, reminded me of 2013, what Detroit was doing in the playoffs and then blew it against Boston. And Boston went on and, you know, beat a very average St. Louis team. Cardinals always find a way to do something in the postseason. Took one from the Tigers, a World Series celebration in 2006. So I posted a tweet this morning. Man, wouldn't it have been great if the Tigers could have found a way to keep all the great names they had that are doing well right now in the playoffs. Now, with one tweet, and it was Sanchez's picture. That was one tweet I followed up with. They had better managers, better position coaches, pitching coaches to help these guys get through and kind of get it right, like players do when they leave one team and go to another team. Well, I put that tweet out, and then somebody like, well, what's that? Is it Cold Freezing Takes that, you know, has like a 500,000 followers, and they, after games and when things are posted, that they retweet them, which I find to be cool because we all make predictions in this business. Well, then somebody lined up my old tweet from 2007 and sent it to these guys, lined up my old tweet, Horowitz, from 2017 with my tweet from this morning. And it has like a gazillion likes and retweets. And I actually thanked the Freeze and Takes people. And I said, you know what? I appreciate the publicity because I'm in the business of making predictions. And if I can live in the world of being 50%, if I can live in that world on predictions, I'm being 50%, I'm doing pretty good. And I do get a lot of predictions right. But if you notice, nobody ever celebrates when you get a prediction right. So was it Cold Freezing Takes? What's it? I got it right here.
Freezing Cold Takes.
Freezing Cold Takes?
Yeah, Old Takes Exposed is what they call
it. Old Takes Exposed. I'm fine with that. I don't hide from it. We've all made, Horowitz, what's the worst prediction? On producing any of these shows, on your Twitter account, with your buddies, you know, while you're all at a game, you're overwatching the Giants at MetLife Stadium, you're having beers, you're at the casino, sportsbook over in Jersey. What's the one thing in your life that is the worst sports prediction you ever had?
I've had a lot. Putting me on the spot, though, I'd probably say after 11-5 that Ben McAdoo was the savior the New York Giants needed. That comes to mind.
See, we all, you know, and I don't mind. I really don't, because I don't delete tweets. I don't delete Facebook posts. I don't delete audio. I don't hide from what I predict. If I'm wrong on a player and he, like Anibal Sanchez, and he resurrects his career, more power to him. Because there was a coach or a manager or a fellow pitcher, somebody did something with him to revive his career. And that happens all the time. You see it in the NFL, just the right situation. Look, Belichick has made a living and won championships by doing that with guys. So I'm cool. I mean, people are like, you should delete your Twitter account based on that Anibal Sanchez prediction. I'm like, are you kidding me? I think the freezing cold takes or old takes exposed, whatever they're called, I thanked them for the publicity. They retweeted it out to like 350,000 people. You know how many people probably, instead of what I said, said, who's this huge guy? I told them that, thank you for the publicity, and I might even mention you on my national show in the U.S. and Canada on CBS Sports Radio. And you know what? I lived up to it. I made a promise on Twitter. Yeah, I'm getting just destroyed on predictions. I think I predicted Michigan State to beat Wisconsin. How'd that work out? Yeah, how'd that look today in Madison? I can't tell you how good that Wisconsin defense is. Penn State, too. LSU, I'm watching, you know, their offense. They went to basically the Saints' offense. This was a great, you know, Clemson. Trevor Lawrence, oh, there's an injury. Dabo doesn't want to talk about it. They look like they're ready to win it. Alabama on the road against a ranked team. Just pummeled Texas A&M. If it wasn't for all the penalties and some shanks by the punter, that they might have put up 60. Ohio State, what they did last week, we talked about that. I'm trying to figure out what we'll get into that we do each and every Saturday night. Four best teams in order. CBS eyeball test, games you've been to, games you've watched on TV. Four best teams in college football. That's a tough one right now. It is. You know, Clemson, but are they back because they beat up on Florida State? I don't know. LSU, that was an impressive win. Joe Burrow, did he move to the front of the Heisman line? Jalen Hurts, what they did to number 11 Texas. Probably will meet again in the Big 12 title game. That is a tough call. You know, Penn State on the road, tough place to win. Saturday night, Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. Look at what they lost from last year, and there they are with Franklin. And then Jim Harbaugh in Michigan will be there primetime next Saturday night. And Harbaugh doesn't have an impressive road win in 5 years at Michigan. And if they lose next week, they're out of the Big Ten title hunt, and they were the preseason favorite. Notre Dame, like I said, hung on, didn't look good in the second half. Georgia gets knocked off by South Carolina. Wow. What a day in sports. Amazing. So I need your CBS eyeball test, your huge four, top four teams in college football in order. And also your worst sports prediction, okay? We're not doing old takes exposed. We kind of are doing the radio version of that. I'll give you some of mine. I have some good ones. I really do. And they're just from memory. And I'm talking on air. Or I posted them, you know, on Twitter. I've had some doozies. That old takes exposed could open up a new page with just my predictions. But they got to mix in the ones I get right, though, too. So the worst sports prediction you've ever made to buddies, friends, family members, coworkers, team you were on, worst sports predictions ever. If you want to join us live across North America, 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook.
It's the Saturday Night Huge Show. Once again, here's Huge Bill Simonson.
Huge questions of the night to start this hour. Top four teams in college football in order. Your own. Not AP, not coaches' rankings, not CBS 125 plus one. I'm talking four best based on what went down today and tonight. I'll give you mine. You can join in 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter, Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. And then I mentioned that somebody exposed an old tweet from 2.5 years ago where I said, get rid of Anibal Sanchez with the Tigers. And they lined up a tweet today where I'm like, why'd the Tigers get rid of all their good guys? Scherzer, Verlander, gosh, they had Price, Porcello, J.D. Martinez. And now they're the worst team in baseball. Nice job. But, you know, old takes exposed, threw it out there, and I, you know, 500,000 people get, you know, to see my Twitter address. I got like 100 new followers like in 10 minutes, so I'm cool. Hey, I stand by my predictions, and I'm man enough to admit when I'm wrong. How many hosts will admit when they're wrong? How many? Not a lot. I'll admit when I'm wrong. And I'm not on a good run right now over the last 9 days. And I'll give you my worst sports predictions ever. So join in 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. Let's go to Rudy in Houston.
Sir.
How you doing, my friend?
How are you doing today?
Doing good.
It's another day in H-Town. I like my four. I'm going to go Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin. Wisconsin going to be a sleeper. And I'm going to go with Oklahoma. Jalen Hurts gets his revenge on Alabama to win the national championship.
All right, Rudy. Well, thank you for listening on AM 610 down in Houston, Texas. Let's go to Harsha in Chicago, listening on AM 670, The Score. You're on the Saturday Night Huge Show.
Hey, just making sure I can be heard here. I called in last year. I made Wisconsin number one. I want to bypass the college football. Go to the bad takes. The Bears drafted a defensive lineman named Jerron Gilbert. I believe it was about 5 years ago. He had a YouTube video of him jumping out of a pool, and I thought he would be the best defensive lineman of all time. That's my worst take ever.
Yeah, thanks, Harsha in Chicago. We all have them. As sports fans, you do, and you overreact at times. Graceffa, what's your worst sports prediction ever?
I really thought Jameis Winston was going to be this perennial Pro Bowler, Hall of Fame caliber quarterback.
You know, he's had flashes, right?
Just based on everything he did at Florida State. Like, this guy's a winner. You could depend on him. Now, off the field, different story. But everything on the field, I felt like everybody that played with the Seminoles loved Jameis Winston, and they all wanted to run through a wall for him. And I thought it was going to carry over to the NFL. Couldn't have been more wrong.
I think football, the NFL, is where we miss on guys, coaches, players, more than anything. Would you agree with that? Because somebody will sign a free agent, and this guy's going to, oh, hey, look what he did with this team. He's going to be our savior. He doesn't pan out. Or you draft him, especially high rounds, first round. You know, usually is the exposed round. Basketball, you'll miss once in a while. And then you'll look back 10 years later, and oh, my God, we took a LeBron, and we took, you know, Darko Milicic. I remember that with the Pistons. They could have had D-Wade, I think it was, when he was just awesome at Marquette. If you want to join in, 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter. Two questions this hour. CBS Eyeball Test, Huge Four. Top four in order, college football at this hour. And then your worst sports prediction. And you don't have to be on a talk show. You could have made it on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, old school MySpace. Could have been with the buddies over a beer. Let's go to Mike in Washington, D.C. You're on the Saturday Night Huge Show.
Oh, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I've got a bad sports take. Back in the 2005 NFL draft, the Packers took Aaron Rodgers at 24, and the Redskins took Jason Campbell at 25, and I said that Jason Campbell would be the best quarterback of that draft class.
Remember Rodgers sitting there when the cameras are all, the picks are going by, right?
Oh, yeah, and I'm actually a Packers fan. I live in D.C., but I'm from Wisconsin, and I wanted the Packers to take Jason Campbell over Rodgers, and I was all upset that they went one pick later to Washington.
Yeah, and thank you, Michael, in D.C., in our nation's capital. It is amazing that because of the way a guy plays in college, we'll assume that they're the potential savior of our favorite NFL team. We do that all the time. You don't have to have a sports talk show on CBS to talk about that. I'm talking, we do that as sports fans. I think my worst one, Horowitz, Denard Robinson and Michigan, they were playing Alabama in the season opener down at the stadium that Jones built in Dallas. And I made a prediction. I was doing a statewide column for like MLive.com. And I made a prediction, and I'll pull that up later, where Denard Robinson would win the Heisman, Michigan would go undefeated. They just got drilled by Saban in Alabama. And I'm going to have to check and see what that. I think they had a god-awful year. I really do. That is one of my all-time worst ever. Ever. And I've been doing a talk show, what, it'll be 28 years on April 15th, 2020, all across the country. I've had some good ones. I'll have to think about it. I'll have to put up some of those. When you put them in print or now with Twitter and Facebook, they don't go away, and I'm fine. You want to dig up an old tweet where I made a prediction and say, oh, look at you, you were wrong. I'm wrong on a sports prediction. Sun will come up tomorrow. I'm cool because listen to all the talking heads. Listen to your friends. What's the percentage of people who get it right? I'm going to say 3 out of 10 times 30%, which hitting 300 in baseball is a pretty good number. So if you want to join us live, 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter, Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook.
Huge is America's voice on sports. This is the Saturday Night Huge Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We are back live across North America, something we do each and every Saturday night. We're all about huge opinions. We have the A-team, Horowitz and Graceffo, back at CBS Sports Radio New York City, producing this show. Something we do during the football season. Top 4 teams in college football at this hour. In order, your personal top 4. You can drop them on air at 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. And I mentioned that, like, old takes exposed, and I was praising Anibal Sanchez this morning on Twitter, and why'd the Tigers ever get rid of Verlander and Scherzer and David Price and Anibal and Porcello and J.D. Martinez and more. Wow, just a laundry list. Well, someone exposed a tweet from, I think, spring of 2017, where I said the Tigers need to get rid of Shane Green and Anibal Sanchez. And that was like 2.5 years ago. And I'm cool with that. I was talking with Horowitz. I'm fine with admitting when I'm wrong. I think it's a lost art in life and not just in sports. A lot of these guys get hung up, and Horowitz brought up a good point where people are afraid to make a prediction because what if I'm wrong? Well, okay. What, a few people are going to rip you on Twitter? That you can look at it and say, how'd I miss that? Because we've all missed something in sports. And that's our sidebar question tonight. Your worst sports prediction that you texted a buddy, you told a coworker, maybe it was, you know, teammates, just the worst ever. And Horowitz and Graceffo right away, they knew. Just off the top of your head, I said LeBron would win 5 championships in a row when he left Cleveland, and he had the big 3 with Bosch and D. Wade. They didn't win 5 in a row. I think they won, is it 2 Horowitz, right, and lost to Dirk Nowitzki and the Mavs in the finals in the other, right? I think it was. I think he won two in Miami. Now, don't get me going on this NBA thing in China, okay? Don't get me, you know, Kerr, and I tied it to gun control. And again, I'm not going to get political, but I thought Adam Silver, the commissioner, I really think he handled this well. It was a PR minefield he was tiptoeing through. But the hypocrisy of calling out our government, our law enforcement, calling out individuals in this country, and then just cashing in China. It's not just the NBA. There are corporate companies who will stop advertising on a show because of their political leanings or with somebody because they misinterpreted what he or she said, but then they'll have a plant in China where they're raking in big cash. So it's not just on the NBA. You know, the NBA didn't go to Charlotte for an All-Star game because of a political fight over transgendered bathrooms. But they'll go to a communist country based on money. And if you looked at that Yahoo report that the NBA was planning on, if things in China completely go south, that each team could have to knock down their salary cap by 10 to 15 million bucks, give or take. So do the math on that. And it tells you the amount of money they're producing out of China, like a lot of American corporations are. Where you take jobs overseas, you get cheaper labor, you reach more people. I get globalization. But the NBA and the hypocrisy that athletes have shown and words that they've said, because what? Harden and LeBron are with Nike and massive epicenter of money in China. No, you can't do it. I can be a hypocrite and be wrong on an opinion on an athlete and whether or not a team should have kept him or that guy's going to win the Heisman or that team's going to win a championship. But what did open my eyes to this NBA story? And I waited a couple of days to give an opinion because it's a hot potato politically here, there, everywhere. And all I said that it's time to respect our country. It's time to give Flint, Michigan clean water or protect the kids on the streets of Chicago. It's rebuild the schools across America. It's time to bring jobs back to this country. And then as you grow, experience the global love of more revenue. But it seems not just the NBA, a lot of, you know, games in London and baseball opening up in Asia. I get showing the world your sport and hoping that the whole world jumps on it like they do FIFA and soccer. But you have got to maintain a two-lane road where there's not a double standard. Because we seem to trash America more in America and open our arms to other countries. And again, I'm not picking a political side of things. A lot of this has been talked about and discussed with the NBA in China. And you get, you know, ESPN and Disney, and they have, you know, Disneyland and Asia. They have business interest. Everybody's so worried about making a buck. Look at how companies are. And I've had, you know, people say, well, Bill, we got to complain on Twitter. Really? You don't know if the person's even real. Well, we got a few complaints on Twitter. Really? Twitter. Do you know if it's not your competition or mine? That's the world we live in. I'm all for taking care of the rest of the world, but we cannot turn our back on America. In the NBA, I thought Adam Silver handled it well. And he said that we're not going to suppress freedom of expression. Okay, well, freedom of expression means there's a two-way street. I have the right to say I disagree with Greg Popovich or Steve Kerr, and Steve has the right to say he disagrees with me or President Trump or Horowitz or Graceffo. But it seems in this country today that both sides do not have the right to freedom of expression, both sides of any argument, any debate. It's not an even playing field. And that needs to happen. So the NBA isn't alone about taking advantage of China and the global market. And Adam Silver, his, you know, standing by freedom of expression was a big move. I don't know, Goodell, there's not another leader in sports that could have done that. But you have to allow then all players, all front office members, everybody connected to the NBA, along with your marketing partners, that they understand that freedom of expression is a two-way street. And chances are you're going to have a split decision on people agreeing or disagreeing. And as long as it's not connected to anything violent or calling for violence, hey, man, if the Rockets GM wants to have freedom of expression, LeBron, Davis, Adam Silver, more power to everybody. Sports is a platform, man. And I say it all the time on this show, and I'm not getting political. But sports is the biggest political platform this side of hardcore politics in the world. It really is. You can go through history in America and globally. And if China decides that they're not going to carry NBA games and just go dark on the league, that's her call. But I don't want to hear the NBA or NBA players talk about how bad this country is or stereotype all law enforcement or deny the good people of Charlotte, North Carolina a chance at an all-star game because of a political division on an issue. A bathroom issue shouldn't warrant an all-star game not coming to help an economy, to help people, to help a kid and his dad go check out and see Steph Curry or Draymond Green or LeBron James. No. No. If you can go to China and play exhibition games in a communist country and I don't have to go through the human rights list, then you can go to Charlotte, North Carolina and play an all-star game and keep your politics out of the NBA. Because in my huge opinion right now, I'm not telling anybody what side of the aisle you have to be on or demeaning whether you're liberal, conservative, far left, barely left, far right. That's your business. And I applaud Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, for the freedom of expression comment. He had to do it. Because I was sitting back waiting, okay, how are they going to handle this? Because if they go censure Mr. Morley from the Rockets, I was going to scream on air, are you kidding me? And I think a lot of you, and this goes back to ESPN and their politics, and you don't want to hear it. And I even had that, you know, hey, it's beginning of the week, it's football, we got, you know, big games nationally across Michigan, you got the Wings and hockey and the NHL starting, and but man, you can't get away from the politics and sports in America. I mean, look at Colin Kaepernick this week and his people putting out the press release on all the teams, nobody's worked them out, nobody wants them to play. Nobody's given him an opportunity. Look at why this is what he's done. Checklist, checklist, checklist. And I'm like, do you understand that he wore pig socks to practice? Do you understand he referred to law enforcement as modern-day slave patrols. Like my old takes exposed, other people on Twitter, they don't go away. That's the reality. Colin Kaepernick, you bet. When I look at the quarterbacks, right, and that's not a black, white, racial issue. I don't want to hear that garbage. No way. No, when you look at NFL players, when you look at, you know, the need for depth, when you look at talent, there's no color barrier. Okay. I get what Doug Williams and Warren Moon had to battle through, and it's sad. Okay? It's 2019. The reason Kaepernick wasn't brought on is the distraction. You don't have a right to bring your politics to the workplace. You don't. You're not protected by that. There is nothing that gives you political freedom in the workplace. You have a lot of other protections, but not your political views. So they put out the long list. I've been waiting for somebody to counter it, and yes, we did work him out. He did opt out of his deal with the Niners. But you can't lose sight of, I get what he was trying to say about law enforcement and social reform, and I'm all for that. Where there are hot spots in America where you have rogue law enforcement who have shown to be bigoted or have been shown to be bigoted by their actions. And some of those videos are horrific. But man, ripping the flag, ripping law enforcement, wearing the pig socks, there are reasons why Colin Kaepernick isn't playing football, and it has nothing to do with his skill level. Nothing. Or the color of his skin. Callers online, your huge opinions are coming up. 1 hour remaining together. You want to join us live, 1-855-212-4CBS and @SaturdayHuge on Twitter.